couple things before we jump in. It's good to see every single one of you here. Really good. Really good to see you. It is no small thing that you have got yourself to this place today. You're here by God's design, and He has something for you as a person. He's not surprised by you being here. He's been actually prepared for you to be here, and He is ready to speak to you even through this faulty, broken clay vessel, like me and Bob are, and others, and Heather, that were up here trying to speak. God can speak through us, and He's going to do that, especially to some college students trickling back in. Really good to see you, Adam, Rachel, has been up here already. Any other college students trickling in that I've missed? One that is resting at home is our daughter, Karis, has trickled back in after graduating from JMU yesterday. Go Dukes. Other graduations are coming along. But that was a big weekend, as you can tell. We got down there Thursday night, so Cindy and Karis are having a wonderful Mother's Day at home, kind of chilling out, checking, having a Sabbath at home. So it's really good for them to do that. It's really a blessing to have the college students back. No question about that. Mother's Day, yes. Again, one more time, happy Mother's Day to you moms here. Very, very significant day. Some of you have been doing mothering for a long, long time, decades. I certainly want to honor my mom. She's been mothering for a long, long time. And so I honor my mom. Some other moms in the place are relatively just beginning that circus, that adventure. And one in particular, I have a permission to let you know that Aaron and Jay Stugart are expecting a new little one coming. So Aaron is here today. So Aaron and Jay have been Cindy's boss. They've been other people's boss in here, but they're also our friends, and now they're expecting new. September? Is that October? October. All right, yes. October baby, postseason baseball baby, as everything comes back to baseball. It is a good thing. What we do today when we honor moms, when we lift moms up and honor you as moms and motherhood in general, it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. It's actually not just a good thing. It's an important thing. Important reality for you and for me. The Apostle Paul, moved by the Spirit of God, told all of us as children to honor your father and your mother. It was a command. It's a good thing. He said it'll really help you have a quality of life, however long your days are. It's a good thing to honor your mom and dad. Not everything our mom and dads do are worthy of honor, but the things that they are worthy of. Because I know we have broken parents. Every one of us had imperfect parents that did not mother and father us perfectly. But to the extent that there are honorable things in their life and in their mothering, that's what we honor. And so moms, we honor you today. It is a very fulfilling reality. Oftentimes it's good. It's fulfilling, it's enriching, it's beautiful, but you also know it's challenging. Mothering can be very discouraging. And you also are aware of the fact that mothering can be one of the most painful things on the face of the planet. You get that. You understand that. I understand, too, that it can be a difficult day, as Heather prayed. But I'm praying that through all of this reality, emotional reality that we're walking through today, relational reality, that God, the Holy Spirit, will speak to you, whether you're a mom or not, about some of the things that He's speaking to us about today, and that you would hear Him. If you're a mom, or if you are not a mom, you know a mom. And I'm praying that He would hear you, you would hear Him say to you what you need to say to that mom, that you would grow as an intentional encourager of a mom. So God's going to speak to you, to me, no question about it. As Bob mentioned, we're in a series. It's a series that we're going to take a few weeks over the summer, kind of end up toward the end of June, part of the summer. And what's going on is we are opening up some patterns and some practices that God has used in my life for the last 20 years or so in very important ways. And so I'm entrusting and passing those on to you. And Jeff and Perry, as they speak, and Micah later on, they'll share parts of that too. But the first is, anybody remember the first? There's a little bit of a test to see what you remember. What I hope is being passed on to you. The first is this, that we start our days with the true thought about God. The hymn writer said, "You're my best thought by day or by night." My best thought. That we would regularly have this pattern early in our day, call to mind something true about God. The second pattern Jeff spoke about is that we would call to mind that we're not to walk alone, that we're called to cultivate friendships, community, so that we're not walking alone. The third pattern is that we do remember something of the Spirit of God. Why in the world did Jesus say, "It's actually better that I go"? An astounding statement for Jesus to make. It's actually better that I go. Because if I go, then I can leave my Spirit with you. That's better, Jesus said. So are you knowing and experiencing the better part of Jesus leaving on a regular basis, here and now, but every day that we just think about, early in the day, what the Spirit of God is up to in our lives? And then last week, we were reminded that we live in a war zone. And if we don't remember that we're living in a war zone with an enemy, then we will walk out into our days, our children will walk out into their days, perhaps without the full armor on, and vulnerable to the attack of an enemy. So one of the other things that we're thinking about on a regular basis that I thought about early in my days for the better part of these 20 years, how do I leave my house with the armor on so that I can withstand the attack of an enemy that wants to devour me? And as we're building these pieces week by week, I get how it can seem onerous. It can all come seem, my gosh, how can it? But let me tell you, after 20 years, this can almost be as you breathe. You take about 6 breaths in the morning, you can remember these. It's not a long time, it's not onerous, and it is something that's very impactful and very important. You just think, God, who are you? Spirit of God, what are you up to in my life? I need to make friends. I need to have friends around me. I need to have the armor on. About that fast. God can bring these realities to our minds, and we can walk through our days stronger, more equipped, prepared, protected, and our children too. So today, what Bob talked about is this, that we would walk through our days, first of all, remembering, this is the one idea for today, remembering who we are and that we would live out of the Spirit of God living in us. That's it. That we would remember that we are, as children of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God. He lives within anyone that has said a simple yes, a Jesus, I believe you. Simple, unsophisticated yes to Jesus produces the dwelling of the Spirit of God in us. He lives in us. And that we would actually then live out of that fullness. Live out of that identity. So the first identity, remember that you are a treasured child. Moms in particular, you may need to remember some of these things, but everybody, remember, in Christ, you are a treasured child. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, John reminds us. He says, "See what great love the Father has for us, that He has lavished His love on us, that we should be called children of God." And that's what we are. If you said yes to Jesus, the Father has lavished love on you. Not trickled, not squeezed out just a little drop or two of His love on you. He has lavished His love on you. You are a treasured child. And the important thing about remembering that this is our identity, it's who we are in Christ, it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with what we do. We are not treasured by God if we read the Bible more, if we go to church more, if we do good things more. No. The treasuring of God of us as His children has nothing to do with our performance. It has everything to do with just who we are in Christ. He just looks at us and says, I treasure you. And not because of what you've done. Not because of how many times you've screwed up or haven't screwed up. It's not that. I just treasure you. We get an idea of that with our kids. I remember Fairfax Hospital. Waited a long time for this moment. It's a girl. I can still hear that. It's a girl. And all Karis did for those first few months and years is mess diapers and cry and smile periodically. You know what that means. But there's a treasuring of her as I held her. And you get that. Before our kids do anything of performance, we treasure them. Just because they're ours. Period. Not because they're doing squat. And that's what's true about our identity before God. He treasures you in Christ just because of who you are. Hotel, Hangzhou, China. Not birthed, but given. Anna. There's this photograph. I'm kicking myself even as I say the words that I didn't think to get it up. One day you'll see it. It's in the hallway of the hotel we stayed in Hangzhou, China. And there's Anna just resting on me. I'm back. I'm sleeping. She's just resting on me. She's sleeping. Just treasured her. Just treasured her. You know what it means? Moms, you have a bunch of memories. You have a bunch of messages in your head. You've heard words. You've heard messages. Some of those have been good. Some of those have been devastating. Some of those have been so difficult to hear. But here's one message that God wants to get through to you loud and clear today as a mom. He treasures you. Not because of how well you perceive you have mothered. It's only because you are His. You are a treasured child. Secondly, though, keep in mind, and this is just three of many, you are a brand new creation. Brand new creation. In this wonderful passage in the second letter of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about this wonderful work of God in reconciliation, bringing us together, making peace between us and Him and with each other. And in that context, he says, you can do this because you are a brand new creation. Therefore, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has come. The new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. We could spend a year at least on what it means to be new creation and old creation, and we won't take that time today, but we have a minute in this. New creation is basically Christ. When we say yes to God and His forgiveness in Christ, He gives us His Son. He gives us His Spirit, a brand new identity, brand new motives, brand new reasons to live, brand new ways and strength and power to live. New, new. It's new in Christ, and the old is gone. See, we have an enemy that likes to keep the old in our heads. The old, we screw up. We forget who we are. We say the wrong thing. We say hurtful things. We make mistakes. And the enemy likes to keep that old stuff new and fresh and have us feel shame, condemnation. And so it's very important for us and for moms in particular to realize you are a new creation in Christ. The new has come. This newness of being in Christ, it's comprehensive. It touches every part of our being. It's continual. He never stops making us new. When we get discouraged and we think the old is just taking over, we forget about the new, God, through His Spirit, says, no, let's go. I'm still working new in you. The old's gone. I'm still working new. Moms, Just keep remembering God is doing a new thing in you. Wherever you are, whatever memories, whatever messages you've heard, He's doing a new thing. You are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. But you are also a dwelling place of God. It's in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, speaking about sexual purity and how do we function physically in this world. Flee sexual immorality. In verse 19, he says, this is why I'm encouraging you to flee sexual immorality, is because your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, who you have received from God. Therefore, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Honor and glorify God in your bodies. Think about that just for a moment. Moms in particular, everybody, we are, if you said a yes to Jesus, a dwelling place of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God lives in you. Lion King. Remember that great scene? We'll stop looking over the water. And he sees his father. And who's the medicine guy next to him? Anybody remember? What? Graffiti. Yeah, that's right. He says to him, he lives in you. A great image, a true image. As we see the Father and we think about the Spirit of God and His gift to us, that's the message. He lives in you. He lives in you. We, as I said, we get all kinds of messages in our lives. Some of them true. Many are not true. And some of those messages go to our identity, who you are fundamentally. And it is so important that we have true messages in our minds on a regular basis. I don't know if you've ever seen the film, The Help, but there's a scene in The Help that if you were to Google this YouTube, it says it's the most touching scene. I didn't make this up. They said it's the most touching scene. Why would they say that? Because it has resonated so deeply with so many people. And it's a scene where it illustrates what we're talking about. Just give a moment of this. Thank you, Lee.
Wait for it.
Don't go, baby.
Baby, you need to get back to bed.
Presently.
I got to, baby. I am so sorry.
Are you going to take care of another little girl?
No, that's not the reason. I don't want to leave you. But it's time for me to retire. You're my last little girl.
No!
Baby. Baby. I need you to remember everything I told you, okay?
Okay.
You remember what I told you?
You were kind. You are smart. You are important.
That's right, baby girl.
Don't go, baby.
I got you, baby. You give my sweet girl a chance.
I think one of the things God wants to get across to us today is that you would hear from Him, you are treasured. You are a dwelling place of the Spirit of God. You are a new creation. And that you would hear that, you'd be able to recite that, and it would inform you, and you would live, we would live out of those truths about who we are. And so we remember that this is the Spirit of God. In us. This is what His life looks like. Galatians 5. This is what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. This is what it looks like when the Spirit of God lives out from us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. This is what we were created to live. This is what we were created to express. This is why you were created, is so that you would know in the depth of your being the work and the ministry of the Spirit of God on a regular basis. So that you would know that you can be, and in fact you are, filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. You're filled with that. That's why Bill had the memory of when Scott went into the water, it overflowed. Fruit is excess life. Apple trees don't exert great effort to produce apples. There is excess life in the life of that tree, and that comes. The Spirit of God flows through us. He is in us, and He's ready to flow through us. But there's an image that has helped me understand this, and this is what I want to share with you, and this is what we close with. It's three circles. I have one of these here. Yeah. It's green for Jeff Howard's sake, so he's colorblind, so he can still see, right? Can you see it? Yeah. Good. Years ago, I was wrestling with issues like this, my own thinking, my own behavior, and went to a week of counseling training with a ministry called Grace Ministries. And they're the ones that came up with this diagram. And it's basically the expression of a simple of who we are as people. We are made up of a body, physical being. We have a soul, and we have a spirit. The spirit is what wakes up when we come to Christ. When we say yes to Jesus, we get the Spirit of God. He indwells us. But we also have a soul. But this soul, this immaterial part, has a mind. It has a will, and it has emotions. The mind is what we think. The will is how we decide and choose. And our emotions are how we feel. But this all has got to work itself out through a physical body that has a tongue, that says certain words, that has senses, that takes in information five different ways, and it also moves. We have bodies, we have physical beings, and the way it's supposed to work is we understand that the Spirit of God is in us. We understand that these realities are within us. We have love, we have joy and peace and patience, and so in our minds we understand that. We know this. We understand it. The Word of God has informed our thinking. We understand it. And so we have a choice to make. We already have this in us, in the reality of the Spirit. The choice is, will we live that out? It's a decision. It's flowing. The will is often referred to as like the switch. When you go to that switch back there, the power is there. When you flip the switch, it enables the electricity to keep going. So the will is like the switch. When we say yes to what we know the Spirit of God is prompting in us, that allows the Spirit of God to flow through us. But we all know things get mucked up with our emotions. What's supposed to happen is, in our marriages, in our relationships, we remembered we're filled with love and joy and peace and kindness. And so we have the decision to be kind or not, and our emotions sometimes go, yeah, be kind. Sometimes they don't. So we decide with our tongue to say a kind word. That's how it works. It's supposed to work. But what mucks up is this. Our mind says, yes, say you're filled with kindness. The Spirit of God is kind in you, so choose to be kind, but our emotions are screaming what? No, oftentimes. That person just hurt you. Do not be kind in return. That's foolish. It's not rational. You hurt them back. Our emotions muck up this deal. And so it really raises the questions, how do we live? What do we live from? Do our emotions govern what we say and do? Or does our mind through the Spirit and our decisions decide what we do and determine what we say and how we act? You've heard this illustration before, but it's so real to me. One more time. Cindy and I had not been married long. Maybe 3 to 4 years, not long. We were living on Lexington Street in Arlington. It was one of the first really, really serious, it had to be fewer than 3 to 5 years, maybe a year or two, something like that. Either way, we were having fight. Thank you, Perry. Yes. And we were in this little kitchen, not far away on Lexington Street, and man, I was mad. I was hurt, and Cindy was leaning against the kitchen counter, and she started to cry because some of the things I had said, what was going on between us, she started to cry. And in my mind, I heard, oh, can we keep that up, Lee? In my mind, I was reminded, you are filled with kindness. I knew that. My emotions were screaming, you're angry, you're hurt. And my will decided to not do what I knew I was being asked to do. In my mind, I thought, give your wife a hug. Give Cindy a hug. I had that thought. I had the thought to do an act of kindness, that my physical body would actually say something, my tongue would say something, my physical body would actually move and do something that was kind, that was completely consistent with the Spirit of God in me. But my emotions were going, no, you've been hurt. Do not be kind. And you know what? I listened to my emotions. I stood there. I did not give Cindy a hug. Later on, as we were processing, she said, do you realize that's the first time in our entire married life that you have not held me when I was crying? That really impacted me. I just decided. I could have. I had the power. The Spirit was ready to flow, but my will turned the switch off. I said, no. Not going to happen. This is how this works. When we understand what the Spirit of God is filling us with in our minds, we can decide to say words of love and patience and kindness, and we can decide to be gentle and good and faithful. We can decide that even if our emotions are screaming no, because our emotions do not define who we are. Here's the interesting thing. Many of us live with this idea of hypocrisy, that if I were to do anything that is different than how I'm feeling, I'm being a hypocrite. How can I walk over to Cindy and give her a hug if I'm not feeling kind? You hypocrite. You can't do that. That's a lie. That's not the truth. I would suggest to you that hypocrisy is not living contrary to how you feel. Hypocrisy is living contrary to who you are in Christ. And so we, as people of integrity, can say a kind word when we're not feeling kind. We, with integrity, can do an act of goodness and patience when we're not feeling good or patient. Because we're not living out of our emotions and what we're feeling, we're living out of our identity. We're living out of who Christ is, the Spirit of God in us. And so we're actually acting with integrity when we do a kind act and say a kind word when we don't feel like it. I think one of the greatest ploys of the enemy is he gets us stuck in this thinking that you can't do that. You're a hypocrite if you do that. It's not true, though. You're a person of integrity. You're a Christ-like person of integrity when you say the right things, when you say something and do something consistent with the Spirit of God in you, and you let that Spirit flow. And that's why this whole list is so important. It gives us a tangibility. It gives us definition. We don't have to wonder what this looks like. We know what this looks like. We know when we are loving, joyful, peaceful, when we do patience, when we are patient and kind and good, and when we're faithful and when we're gentle and when we have self-control. We know that. We know when we're not being loving. We know when we're being discouraging. We know when we're being impatient and not kind and not good. We're not being gentle. We know that. And the Spirit of God brings that to our minds, and he says, you can be gentle, kind, good. Be a person of integrity. Live that out. As moms, that's how you can mother. Dads, that's how we father. That's how we love our wives, our husbands. That's how we love our children. Children, that's how you can love your parents. That's how we can love each other here, even when we disappoint each other and discourage each other. We can still be people filled with the Spirit of God. Yesterday morning, I wake up, the Saturday of our daughter's graduation at JMU, and I'm not in a good place. I am tired. My body is physically fatigued. I'm irritated. I have memories of what has happened, some things over the day, and these little things are coming up in my head, and I am irritated, and I'm anxious. There's a whole host of things going on inside my emotions, my head, my heart. All of this is going on at 6 a.m. because JMU schedules graduations at 9 a.m. One of the thoughts I had. We had to get up at 6 in order to get to the convocation center by 8:30. Check out and do everything. And I know Karis was anxious. She was anxious about the traffic and getting there on time and all. So all this is muddling around. And so I get out my notebook. This doesn't always happen. But I get out my notebook. And I think, and Cindy says this to me, I think God is asking you to preach your message, to live your message this morning. Hate when she's right like that. But she was exactly right. I needed to be reminded at that moment that God was who he was. He was faithful. He was going to see us through this day. The Spirit of God was in me. He was working. I did not have to respond to Cindy out of shortness and out of irritation. I often do that too often. She gets kicked when it's not her. And I don't have to do that. Here's the key to all of this. Somebody said something recently about a character quality in their life, and that person said, I can't. I can't do that. The better word, in my estimation, is for that person to say, no, I won't do that. Do you catch the difference between can't and won't? If we live with the sense of I can't, then we're not taking responsibility. We're saying, I can't. Something else is just coming over me and I can't do this. I'm not responsible to do this. I'm feeling angry. I'm justified. I can be angry because I'm feeling this. I can't do that. But if we say no, we own it, and in all honesty, we say, I won't do that, then we're owning our stuff. We are owning our responsibility because the Spirit's in there. We can flip the switch or we cannot. And we have to own that responsibility. We can't blame anybody else for the switch in our life. The Spirit of God is in us. He can flow. We just are responsible to flick the switch and to say and do and to be consistent with our tongue and our bodies with who the Spirit of God is in us. We can't blame our spouses. We can't blame our parents. We can't blame our children. We can't blame the circumstances. The Spirit of God is more powerful and bigger than anything we can try to blame. And the more that we live with this sense of ownership of our emotions and our actions, the better our marriages will be, the better our relationships with our children and our parents and with each other will be. We will stop blaming each other. We will start owning responsibility for what we say and what we do because the Spirit of God is in us and he can do this. I'm going to close in prayer and then we're going to close with a benediction. The benediction is intentional, purpose. It's the last verse of Romans 15. It has meant deep deep things to me personally. May the God of hope, positive looking future, fill you, moms, dads, friends, fill you with joy and peace. Fill you so that you can overflow with the Spirit of God because you're trusting in Him. Let's pray for just a moment and we'll do the benediction. Father, thank you for telling us the truth this morning. Thank you for filling us with your Spirit, with your precious Spirit. Father, thank you for the power of your Spirit. Father, I pray that you would help us to live as people of integrity, that you would help us to live in our relationships, letting the fruit of your Spirit flow, even when our emotions are contrary. Even when our emotions are screaming no and bringing up tons of justifications. Father, I pray that you would help us flip that switch. Let the Spirit flow for your honor, for your glory, for the health of our relationships, for the health of our marriages and our relationship with our children and our parents and with our friends, with our neighbors, with our colleagues. Father, please help us do this. We need your help. We need your power. Thank you for giving it to us. Thank you for the switch. Help us to do that. Thank you for your grace when we don't. Thank you that you do not bring condemnation and shame, that you bring forgiveness and grace and remembrance, memories of new creation in us. Thank you, Father, for that reality. And I pray, Father, for every friend in this room, every marriage, every mom, every child, every memory, would you please redeem and wash and fill all of that with your Spirit? In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. We'll finish with this. May the God of hope fill you to overflowing with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you can brim over, overflow with the precious and powerful Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Peace. Have a wonderful afternoon. We are dismissed. Happy Mother's Day one more time.